SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And sometimes I'll slip in the, good morning, whoever, Eclipse Award winners, whatever the rip from today's headlines might be. Today I could have said, good morning, kitchen renovation wrap-up veterans. I'm very excited. I think I'm very confident that minutes from now, and if you hear, you might have heard some of the noise yesterday, but the last throws, I believe, of the kitchen renovation are going to come this morning. Just in time for me to leave, by the way. Just in time for me to leave tomorrow for the little California swing and then NHC, Vegas coverage, Bally's. And today they've got to put in a door. There's a door that, which actually is a fairly involved thing. But yesterday, a lot of, kind of fine-tuning, the last couple of pieces of crown molding, one last coat of paint on some of the walls. What else? One light that had somehow slipped through the cracks to get put up. Final adjustments to the range hood. It has been an ordeal. And there's been plenty of work around the house, but not, this is different, the kitchen. Work around the house, the roof guy comes and does some stuff. We got a slate roof. But it's not an upheaval like the kitchen was. And it's just so funny. Jeremy Plonk will be on later. Jeremy was on the, he was wrapping up, I think, right? As we were starting. And when I started discussing this, so many people that talked about, the work that they had done. But it was the last thing in this house really that was done. 20 years I've lived here. Longer than I've lived anywhere. Actually, I think I blew through that 2 years ago, right? I grew up in Connecticut, and that, 20 years here. Amazing. But it was the last thing, and it we're so happy with it. Tina and I, in fact, last night after the guys left and Tina had gotten back from school, and I went down for my latest eye checkup. It looks like I got one more eye thing in 3 weeks, one more final look. And that was a positive too. I should probably report on that. But she and I were kind of like just sitting looking and we're just, it's a room that obviously I do a lot. I cook a lot, but now we're spending time in the room that we never used to do before. It's kind of funny. We'll just sit. We got this little peninsula. The kitchen table was there forever. We never sat at the kitchen table, really. Very, very rarely. So it's weird. It's much more inviting to spend time. And so we're delighted. Every time, the one thing about this, every day when they're doing the work, and they clean up, they do some surface cleaning, but then you got to go through again and clean because there's dust and debris and it gets into every crevice, and ugh. So and then you got the cats, you know, which are like human dustpans. I mean, they're or not human, feline dustpans walking around. Unbelievable. So that's the big excitement around here. The last day of, he's got to put a couple of baseboards down that were left open, and John Nichols reporting in. Yeah, I guess anyways, you want to hear about my eyes too, John? The eye thing yesterday, that was unbelievable. The surgeon yesterday said, even he was amazed. He said, you're seeing better now than even before you had the incident, before the detached retina. It doesn't seem possible that you, at the age of 60, you could have, your eyesight would be better than it was 20 years ago, 30 years. It's crazy what's transpired. And they've leveled with the work last week. My eyes are back in fairly close. In fact, they're even better. It's crazy. Just crazy. I got to wait another 3 weeks and get a final prescription, basically for close work. I still need a little bit of a prescription. I started having my first set of glasses was when I was 7 years old. And I can't even, the whole thing is crazy. So thanks to everybody for that. You know, the people have been so encouraging, and that too, much like the kitchen, so many people identified with the eye issue. And basically, the eye issue and the kitchen renovation, they've been on parallel tracks, and they're both coming to an end. Pretty funny. So, anyway, people have asked about the kitchen and how close we were. Well, we are hours away from finishing. So, we are minutes away from a fairly complete and interesting set of visitors today. We're going to do a little of everything. Matt Hegarty, in advance of the start of the subcommittee hearing involving the, quote, Horse Racing Integrity Act, and Matt will report on the list of people that are attending and testifying, as it were, witnesses. And it feels like a fairly balanced, there's seven guests. I'll let Matt get into it and give you the details. If you heard the replay from yesterday, or, you know, listened live yesterday, archive, whatever, that I sort of hinted at something, and Andy, I wasn't really asking Andy to comment on it, but it came up with Andy that just reprehensible, irresponsible, WAPO editorial, that you can only wonder who was feeding an editorial board the kind of information that was involved. But it certainly had interesting timing, and we're certainly used to this kind of offensive, where there's things planted in the media in advance or in coordination with something like this. But to me, it just is such a disservice to the sport and to the people in it. The way that this crazed mania to ban Lasix. I mean, that has driven all of this, and carpet bombing is the best terminology for the way it's been approached. I mean, just willing to paint horsemen and you know, the sports participants as half-wits. I mean, that's what it's essentially done, and has just smeared the training community nonstop for now close to a decade. Just ridiculous. And if they don't recognize, if the people responsible for this approach don't recognize that it is fed into the negative dialogue and the animal activist sensibility, it has helped fuel them. And a portion of that should be laid right at the feet of those internally in the sport that have fed, into that momentum. So we'll see. We'll let Matt discuss not just that topic. Also have to fit in what transpired starting on Friday in Arizona. And you heard yesterday, caught up in the maelstrom of the signal fight, the signal dispute in Arizona involving the OTBs and the two interests involving Arizona Downs and Turf Paradise. And you know, this has been an awful ongoing rancor that Monarch, you know, the signal company owned by Stronach Group, is caught up involved with because of how the Arizona Commission, the Racing Commission, we should probably reach for Greg Stiles about this. They got the legislature in Arizona to pass a mandate that the signal has to be available to all outlets. And Monarch, who has sided with Turf Paradise in the Turf Paradise versus Arizona Downs standoff, they're caught up in it. And because they weren't offering the signal to the Arizona Downs outlets, now the state mandate prevents it from being offered in the Turf Paradise outlets. So as a result, players in Arizona, which is already, you know, an awkward and convoluted, you know, state situation for ADW, and you know, Arizona is a disaster, but nobody was able to watch or play the Monarch content over the weekend. So people that arrived to watch and bet on the races from Gulfstream on Saturday, there was no signal. That included the Hamiltons. Terry Hamilton went to go watch Spooky Channel, and that's what was being referred to by Brian Lynch. And I had heard about this on Saturday afternoon from a player in Arizona as well. So Matt can report on that. And Matt has significant Arizona ties, actually. So he's been up on this whole situation. And there's a whole bunch of other things. I don't know if we'll get to all of it today. Matt also reported last week, I told you about the CHRB testing, training, our testing as well, a whole bunch of things. And there was actually a story that slipped through the cracks from about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. Equibase bought American Teletimer. And this should, long term, should lead to better timing of races and more consistent. You know, Equibase, you know, Trackmaster, looking to expand their GPS tracking systems. We reported on that maybe about 5 months ago. So Matt, in just kind of going through everything of Matt's recent coverage, I've had that sitting, waiting to discuss. OBS today and tomorrow, the winter mix sale starts at 11 o'clock both days. And in fact, we're going to talk after Matt joins us. Kent Sweezy is going to visit. He's on his way to OBS. There's a little bit of everything. There was the Breeze Show yesterday for some of the racing prospects. And there's everything. There's short yearlings. There's mares in foal. There's mares that are out of foal, barren, as it were. But Kent's going to talk about his big win in the Fred Hooper, Fat Man. Congratulations. Very happy for Kent. We enjoy talking to Johnny's back from Pegasus weekend. We'll find out if Gail has recovered from seeing J-Lo up close. Jeremy Plonk and John White in hour three. Catch up on the Santa Anita action with John, and some countdown to the crown coverage with Jeremy. Todd Pletcher, T-A-P, T-Pletch. Todd will join us late in the show as well. And I think I've got one more visitor between Johnny and John White as well. So Matt Haggerty is going to join us first at the races as we continue to recap the weekend and we talk about the rip from today's headline news. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor. Check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine. Equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Drinking in the morning sun.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into hour one on this Tuesday, and about 40 minutes from the start of the latest congressional hearing about federal oversight. And Matt Hegarty has been tracking this story since it was commenced. This, I believe, maybe the third or fourth version of this. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
When was what was the last time we went through this?
The last time there was a hearing was about 2 years ago. So it was a slightly different iteration of the bill. Obviously, if a bill doesn't get taken up over the 2 year congressional session, then it has to be reintroduced into the next one. So this latest version was introduced last year in the spring, early summer. So it's taken, you know, 7 or 8 months to get to this point. The hearing was announced last Thursday or Wednesday for today, and we do have a witness list at this point. But I would expect that the hearing will proceed in much the same manner as we have seen the last couple times that they've had a hearing on a bill or a slightly different version of this bill. But you do have the background that wasn't there the previous two times about what happened last year, principally at San Anita, and all the focus out there on the catastrophic injuries.
Exactly, and the sound and fury that has accompanied all of that. Run down the list, and it starts out tilted very heavily amongst witnesses that will be quite pro USATA oversight, and then it turns into the other direction.
Yeah, well, since this is a hearing for a bill that the committee members and subcommittee members by and large support, you're going to see hearing or witness list tilted towards the party that supports it. You'll see that in any type of legislation. This is a preliminary hearing in a subcommittee of a committee in the House, while at the same time over in the Senate there's an impeachment trial going on. So you would expect a tilt in the witness list, and you certainly see that here, as you've seen in the previous years.
Run down the parties involved.
Well, you've got Bill Lear, who's the vice chairman of the Jockey Club, which obviously heavily supports the bill. We have Marty Irby, who's a former Humane Society executive, who now is the head of a lobbying group called Animal Wellness Action. He heavily supports the bill, according to his prepared statements and his public statements in the past. Chris McCarron, obviously retired Hall of Fame jockey, who's been supportive of the bill in the past. Joe DeFrancis, the former Maryland Jockey Club official, who is now the chairman of the Humane Society's Horse Racing Advisory Board. Kathleen Anderson, who is a past president of the American Association of Equine Practitioners, whose organization has been somewhat neutral on the bill, though the organization has said that it continues to support the race day use of Lasix absent another medication that could achieve the same result, as well as Dennis Drazen at Monmouth Park, who obviously you have on there quite frequently. And I feel like I'm missing one, and because I pace around when I'm on the phone, I don't have the
Ed
list
Martin
in front of me.
It looks like Ed Martin.
Exactly. Yes. Ed Martin will be obviously, he's the president of the American Association of Racing Commissioners International, which is obviously opposed to the bill and has been in all of its forms over the last 5 years.
So who were the principals involved on the Consumer Protection and Commerce Subcommittee? And I'm curious specifically if we've got, Tonkin, Barr and company.
Yeah, but as far as the ranking members who will be leading the hearing, you have Pallone from New Jersey and Joukowsky from Illinois. Both are heavily supportive of the bill. You could even say that Jan Joukowsky is nearly anti-racing. She has been very critical of the horse racing industry and its regulatory structure in the past, and I think she is looking for something that would address her concerns. It's just still an open question as to whether or not this would do that.
The process, for those that have forgotten what transpires, this is the first foray, and there was even uncertainty as to whether there was ever going to get to a hearing standpoint. What would happen after this hearing, and how much more likely is this bill to reach critical mass? Is there potential for it to get tacked on to other legislation? Because that's typically how a document like this gets put into practice and put into law.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of uncharted territory for this bill. They have had hearings at the subcommittee level before, but the subcommittee has never even held a vote on it. If it were to get voted on, it would need a markup and then go to the larger committee, and then it'd be introduced to the House floor. The supporters of the bill say they have more than 200 people signed on to it. That's, almost getting near half of the House of Representatives. It is a bipartisan mix. You have a lot of people that are in the horse caucus, and then other legislators. And, frankly, when I talk with racing lobbyists or lobbyists connected to the racing world, they don't see a clear path forward on this without unanimity in the industry, and that is still lacking. So this Congress especially, and to a smaller degree, lesser degree over the last couple of years, has not been very good at getting legislation passed through. When it does so on a bipartisan basis. And you still have Mitch McConnell as the Senate Majority Leader, and he obviously, Churchill Downs is in his jurisdiction. Churchill Downs remains opposed to the bill for a variety of reasons, and so it's unlikely to think that he would go ahead and put this bill up for a vote on the Senate floor if he doesn't have Churchill Downs behind him.
Those that are interested, there's the website for the Energy and Commerce Committee. There is a live stream of today's hearing, and I imagine that's what you'll be watching and tweeting about.
Yes, obviously. I'm not in D.C. I'm in Lexington right now. So that will be how I do my coverage today, through that live stream.
Excellent. And for those that want to watch, I'll send a link, and you can listen along. And is it just audio, or do you get?
Oh no, it's video. And
wow, actually, lovely.
As opposed to other streams that you might have to, or I might have to do in the course of my work, they do a pretty good job of keeping the camera on the nameplates in front of them, so you know who is speaking. Even if you're not familiar with the legislators' faces, so it's a lot easier to follow along than with, say, a CHRB audio stream. you'll definitely have a good view of the arguments as they're made in the testimony if you do watch the live stream.
Well, the CHRB ones, they really should work on the video, because the pitchforks and torchlights, that they put on a tremendous show. They should work on that. Let me turn our attention, Matt, to some of the other news from the last 2-3 weeks. As always, whenever you visit, there's limitless topics, and let's go to your home state to some degree, Arizona, and bring everybody up to speed on the latest rancor that Arizona cannot get out of its own way, and the victims were horse players over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a very convoluted situation. In Arizona, you have OTB outlets, which are principally restaurants or bars that are affiliated with either one of the two tracks, Turf Paradise or Arizona Downs, since it reopened last year. Monarch Content Management, which is the simulcasting arm of the Strona Group, had decided last year that they did not want to send their signal to the Arizona Downs affiliated OTBs because they thought those OTBs were being selected on criteria that overlapped with current market areas of the existing OTBs affiliated with Turf Paradise. A law then got passed last year that said you have to send your signal to everyone in the state if you do sell your signal. Monarch continued to stick to its guns, filed a lawsuit, did not get a ruling on a preliminary injunction from the law getting enforced, but that lawsuit is still going through the courts. But on Friday, the Arizona Department of Racing ended up telling Monarch, you can't send your signals into the state unless you comply with the law. And so those signals were cut off, which is costing Arizona horse players some pretty popular signals. You know, I know growing up there, Golden Gate and Santa Anita were obviously, you know, two of the big signals. But then it also blacked out the Gulfstream signal for the Pegasus card as well.
There's no ADW availability in Arizona for players. They've got to go to bricks and mortar to play the races. And the fight between, for those that haven't been following along in essentially what feels like, you know, wrestling style fighting between Turf Paradise and Arizona Downs. It's one of the craziest stories in an industry of crazy.
Yeah, there's, you know, despite the fact that Phoenix is now, I can't remember, the fourth, fifth, or sixth largest metropolitan area in the country, horse racing is just not a big sport there. The OTBs don't take in a lot of money. It's very low margin. Turf Paradise has said it's been struggling for years and years in the face of competition from Native American casinos, and other forms of gambling. And so, you know, anytime you have principals in an industry in which the money is very tight, you're going to see them fighting over the small amounts of money that are out there. Arizona Downs reopened last year after a couple year hiatus, and Turf Paradise, you can say, you know, objected very strenuously to the selection of the restaurants that their OTBs were going into.
Given Scott DeRudy's comments, Matt, they're going to just let the legalities play out. So, in other words, all the signals involved here, which are the Stronach tracks, as well as Tampa Bay Downs that's currently running, as well as Del Mar and Monmouth, when that rolls around, all of those signals will be unavailable to players in Arizona until the dust settles on the legalities.
Yeah, and we'll just have to see, you know, how it shakes out. The Strona Group is a pretty big company. I don't think they're in great financial shape, but I also don't think the money from Arizona residents is going to make or break them one way. So I don't know how much incentive they have financially to back down from their stance. Their stance is that the law is a restraint of trade. You can't tell businesses who they can sell their product to and who they can't. So they are willing to let this play out in the courts, at least for the time being, and that's according to the president of the company. And so, unless they do back down, or there is a separate agreement reached, then they're blacked out for the time being, and I don't know what the timeline or the horizon might be for a resolution.
Swell, we mentioned CHRB and. You know, that CHRB meeting, we haven't really discussed this all that much, but the move to Sacramento may have been a absolutely tactical blunder of epic proportion, frankly. And I think they thought that this was going to be somehow reduce the spotlight. And instead, they put themselves in the crosshairs of all kinds of, you know, state government protesting, and I don't know if this was the smartest maneuver ever, but this was a very significant sidebar, Matt, the other day when they passed a rule that essentially extends testing to training. Talk about this, because it didn't get much attention last week.
Yeah, it would be the first racing jurisdiction that I know of that would formalize the testing procedures for training and then apply sanctions for violations over threshold levels for the regulated non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which are obviously commonly used to help sore horses on the backstretch. So, yeah, this is a pretty sizable move by the CHRB in the state of California. In the sense that you're expanding testing to these exercising horses for the first time. Now, at the same time, other racing jurisdictions will pull out of competition testing samples from horses. And if they notice that horses are testing, say, above the threshold level, the racing threshold level while they're in training, they might issue them warnings and saying, you know, how much are you giving these horses? Maybe you should back off, things like that. But this would be the first jurisdiction I know of that would apply a sanction to those violations.
It feels like there's real merit to this actually, and so I you know, in a lot of the hubbub and confusion that has gone on, you know, particularly in California and with the Stronach Group's initiatives, kind of an interesting something with potential to really have positive impact. Let's also throw in another kind of quiet piece of news that has got real potential to impact the quality of information delivered to horse players, Matt, and that was Equibase buying American Teletimer.
Yeah, so, you know, Equibase move here was that American Teletimer did have existing contracts as the official timer for a large number of racetracks. They use the light beam system that most horse players are familiar with. With this purchase, Equibase wants to move timing of races more towards GPS timing. Obviously, there are some problems with that as far as reliability and accuracy. But it does seem like most of the sports world is going towards these type of timing and tracking technologies. And so you would benefit from a lot of the work that's being done to refine these systems and to develop, you know, software and different things that help the viewer, or in this case the handicapper, make sense of the data that's being generated by the system. So we're already seeing this at four tracks. The system is in place in Maryland at Woodbine. I'm forgetting a track.
Golden Gate.
Golden Gate. But they convert the data just into the traditional PP format, the one that horse players are familiar with. Whether or not someone can come up with a really good idea to kind of reformat all that data into something that might make a little more sense to the beginner, or something that might make a lot more sense to the experienced handicapper, remains to be seen. But it is a move forward, I think, in the sense that if the rest of the world is going to these type of systems, your best bet is to piggyback on that progress and take advantage of all the different technologies that will emerge.
Well, and, you know, in addition, there's also the Jockey Club, and in terms of an umbrella that can positively impact, you know, habits and practice and execution on a variety of fronts, the microchipping. You know, ultimately, every horse is going to have a digital basically a digital record and a digital file. And, there's so many positives away from afternoon activities, but we talked last year about what it's going to mean, ultimately for timing of workouts. And, you talk about how marketing arms and information and handicapping purveyors can utilize the, the timing and, turn it into very viable and useful information. There's a lot of upside to this. It's been a long time coming, and it feels like something that more people should have known about here from about 2 weeks ago. I thought it was a really positive development.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp on that. The system that we have in place now is antiquated, and it serves to perpetuate another very antiquated timing aspect that horse racing has, and that's the run-up. Racing, I know that you're going to have to deal with track records, but, I'm of the opinion that time only matters when you're in jail. And, if you have to have a new set of records based on a timing system that eliminates a run-up that can vary from track to track, then good. So,
Matt, as always, terrific updates on the news of the day, and the news of the day never stops. I appreciate it. Enjoy the hearings, Matt. Settle in for this will go on how long, do you figure?
These guys are not guys and girls are not very keen on going deep into lunch, so probably about 2.5 hours, I would say.
Okay. Right. And then they'll be off to the Capitol Grill. I appreciate it. Matt, well done. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Always great. Matt Hegarty, everybody. DRF Hegarty, and Matt, who does an amazing job covering all the hard news. And then he also typically gets to cover at least 3 or 4 days of Keeneland. Spring and fall, when and maybe once in a while a Kentucky Downs run, and Matt loves the game. He loves them to bet, and just a stalwart when it comes to this kind of coverage. Let's take a timeout here. We're going to connect with Kent Sweezy. Haven't talked to Kent in a while. And, of course, Kent worked for Jimmy Jerkins and has been out on his own and got a very nice graded stake win to start the year in the Hooper. Fat Man, P-H-A-T. Kent Sweezy joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life.
but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor. Check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. You came on over to me. Late night, we shared a drink or three.
We're back at the races, about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Johnny D is going to join us. He was down at Gulfstream, and we'll find out when we talk to Johnny if he cashed on Kent Sweezy with Fat Man in the Hooper, a modest upset. And for Kent, a terrific highlight. I mean, he's off to a good start in his training career, but this is the first graded stake win, and it's a real pleasure to have Kent join us and congratulate him. Fat Man, and he'll be a favorite for years to come, providing the first graded stake win. Kent, well done! Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Talk about it, because this was a difficult group, and this was a big step up for him.
It was when we bought him last July with the intent of running him in some cool places, just getting some good shots and taking these people to, you know, have the dinner upstairs, lunch upstairs, and nominate to some races and have some opinions on where we want to go. And that's what we got to do. And so we ran him on the prep before that in the Harlan's Holiday. I don't know. He was training really good going into the race, and he's a really heavy horse. The Fat Man really fits him. And he was training really good. And so I thought that last, he ran good for us too in that last 16th. I thought maybe he got a bit tired, so I figured we needed to push on him a little bit to get him hopefully to where he needed to be to run against those on that day, and he did. So it worked out really good.
Well, to say the least. And you look at that lead up, and when Joe Sharp had him, and you know, you pretty much picked up the ball, and after the sale, he just has maintained more or less. These last two performances, though, just a notch up and over to get him into a winner's circle in a graded stake. He had been graded stake placed, but this this makes a big difference. He's a gelding. I mean, he's not going to stud, but, means something to you and obviously to who was it, Mrs. Stribling and the people in Force 5.
Yeah, those guys, I think I told somebody in the winner's circle that those people were the first people I had horses for. You know, besides I had a couple for Mandy Pope when I was working for Jimmy kind of on the side. But for the most part, when I first started, these guys, they had my back from day one. We bought a couple horses at a sale, and Turf Stable was in on it, and it was good to have those people that, you know, they didn't really know each other going into it. And so by the end of the day, they were exchanging numbers and they were best friends. So it was pretty cool. And yeah, Joe did a good job with the horse. I mean, it wasn't like we didn't change too much with him. I think we, at first we didn't train on him that hard because I thought, well, maybe let's try something different. Maybe if the trainer had him before that did drill on him, well, let's go the opposite. Or maybe if they didn't, we need to train harder. So it was just sort of playing it by ear a little bit and getting to know the horse. And then I think we know him pretty good now. And that's why between races, I had a jock at Tampa, Jose Ferrer, who's won plenty of graded stakes races. He knows what a good horse feels like. And so he breezed him the three times he breezed between races. And, Jose's a real good judge of a horse. And he kept saying, man, this horse is just doing really good, really good. And I said, well, I was happy going into the race. And it was just, it was a lot of people put a lot of time into him. And, you know, I've got a really good blacksmith that we had to change some things on and some different riders. And so I think I found something that really works for him now. And he gets a lot of TLC. He's our big horse. So not just in size, he's massive too. I think he was by far the heaviest horse in the race. And he actually gained weight between races, which is odd because, like I said, I did drill on him a little bit. And when we went and weighed him before we went in the paddock, I thought, wow, that gave me a lot of confidence going in. I had a big smile on my face when they weighed him, because not very often do you see a horse come back in about a month and gain weight with some breezes. So I was really excited going into it, and the pace setup was going to work for him, I thought. And he had a race over the track, and somebody said before that how important it is that the horses that come down from New York, they usually run good over it, but they sometimes run better the second time over it. So not that I had any, you know, that wasn't my theory whatsoever, but it sure made sense to him. So everything really worked out good going into it. And getting Irad was a huge, huge deal for us too, because I thought he rode him really good in the Harlan's Holiday. So getting him right back, I think it was between if Mucho Macho Man, or not Mucho Macho Man, if the horse that won of Baffert's went to the car race, he had to ride him. But if he went to the Pegasus, he could ride us. So it worked out real good for us.
Say the least. I mean, well, the fact that Irad and Steve Rushing, saw fit to get on you in the Harlan's mm-hmm. Holiday, that's an sure. endorsement number one.
Yeah, I think he was 20-something to one in that race, and that race looked like, you know, a couple horses came out of that ran in the Pegasus, and it was both races were good. This race had just tons of speed in there, so that again, you know, they went 22:44, so he was sitting in a garden spot. When Irad asked him, he had to ask him a little bit, and then he came running, so it was awesome.
And we'll talk probably more about the race itself in a second, but I want to pause because there's two things going on here that you could really help people, Kent, and help them understand what happens in a barn switch like this with an older horse, whether it's a claim or whether in this case it was a $65,000 private purchase. You're on your way to the winter mix sale. In fact, you're probably at OBS now. For people that are new to the business and, you know, trying to find out ways to get in the game and to acquire stock, this is a teachable moment. Talk about buying horses at a mix sale like this and the way you bought this horse, what kind of a budget you take and what kind of, you know, chips and bruises and so forth you live
with.
Might
be able to deal with. Yeah.
Yes, when you buy a horse like this.
Well, first of all, I think it's the racehorse sales recently have, I mean, look at what Elite's done. Elite kind of came in and they took racehorses that, for example, say Chad might not, it's not going to fit up to his par. You know, he wants graded stakes horses, and maybe they were at one time and they're not now, or they had a little setback and he says, you know what, let's just move this horse on. So you get a lot of those, you know, and then you get horses that are, say, unraced that they were, you know, right now we've got a couple horses that went through two-year-old sales and didn't make it or had little problems, and then they get the summer to recoup and get back together, and now they're ready to go back to the races. And the two-year-old guys down here, their barns are getting ready to be full with yearlings if they're not filled already, and they need to move these horses on. So again, in one way, it's like what they say, one man's trash is another man's treasure, but at the same time, we want, you know, I don't really want trash, but the same, you know, it makes sense that they're moving their horses on a little bit. And so for us going into that sale, we were looking for exactly a fat man, something that at one point in their career showed not brilliance, but pretty close. They needed to run, say, an 85 fire. You know, if you sort of started from there and said, well, they ran an 85 as an early 4-year-old and they tried this, they did that. And the next thing you know, they just maybe weren't cutting it for that owner. Or that owner again might have 2-year-olds coming in they need the stalls for. So it was a unique case with Fat Man that I went to the sale with a couple of people that wanted to buy their own horses for $40,000 or $50,000, and that's a tough number to go to. So we kind of piled them together and said, well, let's jump in on a horse together. And we got outbid on a few, and a couple of them, it's tough to do that because you've got, everybody wants a different horse. You know, somebody wants a turf horse, somebody wants a dirt sprinter, somebody wants a young horse, you know, so you have to kind of find the right people to get in, but we did, fortunately. And again, with the vet work and stuff, is I would hate to go through my barn and x-ray every horse in my barn, because I'm sure they've got issues that they're just pushing through that never bother them. You know, maybe it's a small chip in a hind ankle or something minor in a stifle that nowadays people knock horses so quick at a sale for things like that. And they've never taken a bad step in their life. You know, when you get a horse to a two-year-old sale, and that consigner's probably shocked that this horse has something going on somewhere, because it moves so fluidly and it's never taken a bad step. So in that case, you hope that they can push that horse onto some people that trust them and that know that, listen, the guy says the horse is all right, let's just do it. And so I think that plays in a lot of it too, that the x-rays mean so much to some people. But at the same time, I'm the one buying it. I'm the one that has to live with it every day. So I'd better make darn sure that I know that it's not bothering it. And, you know, Fat Man wasn't perfect. If you went back and looked at his x-rays, he's got minor things here and there, but I mean, he gets out on the road and he jogs like a perfectly sound horse. So it, and he sure trains good. And that means a lot too, you know, and the fact that we can get a chance to watch him train over this OBS track helps us a little bit, because at least you see him galloping. When you're at a phase league in places like that, they don't often let you train over the track. So it is a bit more of a guessing game that way. I guess that's why the 2-year-old sales, you have the preview day, you know, but it's, you know, you'll get horses at a sale like this that are going to bring $5,000, and the horses that have run with good form that are going to bring $150. And it's a good time of year, because we're looking for horses for the summer. So I'll find something that's similar to Fat Man. Maybe he needed a little break, and he got a tiny bit of break after Joe had him, and then he came right back and he was a fresh horse again. So maybe they're overtrained, maybe they're undertrained. I don't know, but it's sure that's part of the game, I guess, you know, and that's what people like.
We'll talk. I want to talk, no doubt, and that was exactly, you know, the kind of feedback I was hoping for. And talk about the client side, and you know, there's quite a few people when they're in this position, and this is a very good example. This sale, and of course, in a couple of weeks, we talked to Boyd Browning yesterday. Fasig has got the last of the mixed sales, and. Yep. There's a school of thought that says, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to buy a racing prospect, I'm going to go female because I've got the fallback position of the residual value of them as a broodmare. How much of that enters in?
To me, not a lot, because I'm not looking for a broodmare. I want to win races. You know, so when I'm at the sale like this, I'm looking for something if it's a filly that's got no pedigree, it's sort of irrelevant. But like you said, if you do have something that maybe ran third in the stake, that's worth more to somebody to take it up to Kentucky than it is for me at the racetrack. You know, a filly might be worth $60,000-$70,000 to me at the track, but she's worth $250 in the breeding shed. So she's out of my. That's not something I'm even looking for. And again, if they get sent to me, it's a different story. You know, if they can run, they can run, and we'll try some cool spots and try to get more black type. And where we go up in Monmouth is a great, great place for that, because you have so many options. You know, you've got stakes races every weekend. You know, whatever, you know, any race you wanted to find, we can find one up there. So that's actually an avenue that I've thought with some horses, that if we found one that was, say, running fourth or fifth in a stake, and they're just knocking on the door and they're running in Del Mar or they're running at Belmont, maybe we can take those horses and pick and choose some spots and then wheel them back in November. You know, we buy them now, buy a horse that's broken its maiden, it's a solid two other than horse, that can get some black type someplace, because if you pick and choose the right spot, you know, look at the divisions. You know, that's what they said people used to do in the past. You find the division that's the easiest and go seek out a horse to run in those races. You know, pull up the charts on some of these fillies going long on the dirt. You know, they're smaller fields. If you can run third, you might run third beating 8 or 9 lengths, but you've got that black type right there. And, you know, you do that a couple times, and next thing you know, you take her to November and you hit a home run, you get $250 for something you paid $60 for. You know, and you had fun in the process, you know, and that's part of it too. Having what everybody says, having that Saturday horse, you know, I don't care what day it is, but if it wins for us, you know, so that's something that I wouldn't go to a sale looking for a filly. I'd rather have a colt, especially a hard knocking gelding like that Fat Man. I'd love to have a barn full of him. You know, he's as honest as they come. So that would be more my opinion, would be to get a racehorse that way, as opposed to trying to buy a well-bred filly.
Claiming for, you know, for a high dollar claim where, you know, you've only got.
That's just like what we did with Fat Man. That was basically a $65,000 claim. We got to look at him, but we knew what he was. You know, he had the form right there. We saw him in person. We liked him and we went for him. And like you said, you can go out and claim one for $50. There's plenty of horses at Gulfstream and places like that that are worth $50 all day long. but it's just the idea that you don't get a chance to see him in front of you, and you can vet him, which is a big help, big plus.
Well, and then, you know, the other part of the equation that you hinted at, and you mentioned the farrier, and obviously, you know, there's very little difference in just the slight difference with the, you know, with the graded stake placement and now a graded stake win. But explain, and by all rights, I could have any, you know, I really should have more. I haven't had nearly enough visitors when it comes to the farrier explaining. But especially with a horse like this, a big, heavy horse, something as nuanced as the angle of the hoof, the angle that one farrier chooses to keep a horse in balance, it's just the most nuanced element, the angle of the toe. I mean, talk a little bit about what you, when you referenced the way he's being shod, what little nuance has been involved?
A lot of things. You know, I think when he came in, that was the first thing we saw. He had a bunch of equilocks, like some glue type things around his feet to make him have nice shape and keep the shoe on and be able to not have to nail into his walls. And like you said about the angle of the toe, and that, you know, the average person would say, well, this horse's feet look great. Its shoes fit well, but then you pick it up and the shoe's cocked on there wrong, or it's got a nail in the wrong place, or a bit too high, a bit too low. And so I think a lot of times, I've held horses for the blacksmith since I was about 5 years old. And you just, if you see the difference in the people that come in that want to just bang them out as quick as they can do them, and nowadays they're getting about $200 for a shoeing. So, you know, a blacksmith can look up and they might have shod 10 horses in a day, you know. So you have to remember that on one hand, you want the best, but at the same time, you need somebody that's going to personalize your horse, not just throw a, it's not like tires for your truck, you know. You don't just throw a new set of shoes on. Maybe 9 out of 10 horses, maybe it is. Maybe it's just like putting new tires on your car. It is what it is, but it's a little bit of difference you might make where you three-quarter this shoe, or you back up the toe a little bit, or something like that, you know. And all farriers have a different way of doing things. Some people love putting the pads underneath the shoe, but this little small pad that fits between the horseshoe and the horse's foot. And it's about 3 millimeters. It's tiny, but it makes a big difference sometimes. And I watched the horse just walk out of the stall here a second ago at OBS, and the guy says, oh, he's got bad feet. And you pick up his feet, and the horse might not have been shod for 8 weeks, you know, and maybe they're afraid to change the shoes on him. Maybe, you know, they don't want to mess up before the sale, something like that, but from my standpoint, the first thing I'll do is get my blacksmith on that case. The horse walks out like he doesn't want to do much. Well, why? Because his feet hurt him. You know, if your feet hurt, you're not going to walk like you should either. So it's a lot of common sense stuff that when you can personalize the horse. And we bring him out every week. Every horse comes out on the road, and we look at him, and I make sure their feet, the angles are right, and their feet look good, and their coat's good. You check their mouth, and you kind of give them the once over, and that's when you can pick up on some things, just like the Fat Man horse. I mean, I must have had 3 or 4 different kind of vets come by, and I just asked their opinion on it, because opinions are free. You know, you can just come in and say, what do you think? What do you think we should try here or try this? And, you know, you can use the acupuncture, you can use chiropractic, or you can just kind of go the old school and put them out in a round pen every afternoon and let them roll around and put them in ice, things like that. Joe Shop's got a lot of really good horses in his barn. And I'm sure, some horses fit a smaller operation, some fit a bigger operation, some need TLC, some don't. So in this case, I think he's one that he appreciates being in the corner stall. You know, he likes being the center of attention. He loves getting grass after he trains. Some horses, they don't care, or they're too silly to do those things with. He's a really cool horse to where you can do anything with him. And I think I keep looking back at my chart because I want to do the exact same thing that I did the last week with him. You know, if it worked where I just tack walk him around the backside for an hour instead of training him, well, that's what he's going to do. If he wants to go stand in the gate and put the blinkers on him and stand him in the gate, he feels like he's going to break out of there. He's not, but he feels like he is, and he pumps himself up, and the blood gets flowing. You know, or if he needs to jog today because he breathed a couple days ago or something, you know, you just got to personalize him, and that's the fun part. That's why it's important, I think, that you have your horses under one roof, that I can put my hands on them every day and can make some decisions that somebody else might not, or take some risks and do some things that might be a little bit different. You know, they're still an animal. You know, it's not a machine.
And that was fabulous. And I hope that, you know, players and even some players who have gotten sour and who are, you know, aghast at what they consider, you know, inexplicable move-ups. Horses respond. They give the signals, and if you have the time and attention, and you've got the wherewithal, horses. The term sour, you know, horses can get very, you know, very disgusted with, you know, being rushed out and rushed through their exercise. They're in that goddamn stall 23 hours a day. So an extra 15 minutes, if you can,
would mean a lot.
Big time. And, you know, that includes not forcing them, letting them stand by the rail, letting them take things in. If they don't, you know, we had an experience years ago where we claimed one for 20 and the horse did not want to train. Just did not want to train. And Gary, the first 10 days after we claimed him, Gary said, we're not going to, we thought we would run back fairly quickly with him. Gary said to me, you know, this horse needs, he's sour. He doesn't want to train. So instead of training every morning and shoving him through the gap and forcing him to do it, he went out on the fields and down the hill and across the street of the Oklahoma and let him walk around the trails and did that for about 10 days. And one morning he turned into the gap instead of walking past the gap. He turned in the gap and he just wanted to be given his head and be given, you know, some air time.
Freedom.
And just let him, you know. And it was smart and a classy, classy gelding. And next thing you know, you know, 2-3 weeks of training and he wins first out and got taken actually and was too bad, but you know, it taught me something.
You just got him happy. You just got the horse right. You just got him happy, and then somebody else goes and takes him. you hope that he goes into a barn and is going to do the same thing, but you never know. You know, one thing I like is the what the Stronach tracks are doing by weighing the horses. I think that's one of the most important handicapping tools you could have. Some people said the other day that if you're a gambler, say, and you're putting a pick six ticket together and you needed to know some information, you want to know how a horse is doing, or, you know, instead of saying, should I bet your horse today? You almost want to ask them thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, are you in the right spot? That would be thumbs up. Is the horse eating? Thumbs up. You know, overall, how's the horse doing? So I think by weighing them, I mean, if you see a horse that goes and if Fat Man, for example, laid it on the line that day at the Harland Holiday when he ran second, if he laid it all on the line and he came back and he was 40 pounds less than he was before, you'd have to think a big horse like that, he probably holds his weight pretty good, and he might not be doing so good. And by the fact that he gained weight coming out of it, that's a huge, for me, I'm not a gambler, but that would be a huge tool to have. And I hope that's what they use in the future a little bit more at different tracks, because from my standpoint, I mean, it's a free tool for me that shows me how my horses are doing, you know, by how much weight they're carrying. And, you know, you never know. You can look at a horse and you might see him one day and come back the next day and he looks the same. But if you don't see him for 3 or 4 days or maybe a week, you come back and say, wow, this horse looks awesome. He's just doing great. So that's a tool that I hope we can start using some more, because to me it makes a lot of sense.
Well, and even though some people discount it, this is one of the reasons that having paddock commentary and, you know, started, you know, going back, well, whether it was Jill Byrne and Donna Brothers and Jan Rushton, and, you know, now it we've moved into, you know, Maggie Wolfendale and
love Maggie in New
Kate
York,
and Bradar.
The things that she sees from being able to ride horses in the morning and know what a horse should look like and how it should feel, I think Maggie's one of the best out there. You know, and she does. She gives you valuable information, and it's free.
and it's you know, not every horse that runs well has to be dappled out and their coat has to be perfect. I mean, that isn't always the sole criteria. And I can remember learning a valuable lesson from Country Smart, Eric Guillo, who, on a daily basis leading up, to a race Derby week a few years ago, I'm going to forget which filly it was, but the filly would turn up every day and look dull and looked lousy. And then all of a sudden, the day before, she came to the paddock for paddock schooling and was like glistening. I said, "What happened?" He says, "What do you mean, what happened?" He said, "I had her all muddied up and dirtied. I didn't brush her out." So I don't want people saying all week, "Boy, you see Gio's horse? You see how good she looks?" Son of a gun, you! So I learned something that day. But no, there's so much. They'll tout themselves. That's for sure.
They will.
Ken, I know you got plenty to do, but give us a quick update. You know what? After a one turn mile win like this and a triple digit fig, you put yourself in pretty nice position.
Yeah, I think so too. The cool thing about the time of year we're at right now is that the Saudi Cup is going to take a lot of the older handicap horses out of the races here in America. Same with Dubai. The horse seems to travel well. You know, he ships over from Tampa twice, and he's run good both times. And like I said, he's a good doer. He's a big eater. So I know how he's doing all the time. And I think we'll try to maybe follow some of the Triple Crown races that they have the older horse
sure.
races on the big prep days, you know, like whether we go to Oakmont or we stay at Gulfstream for there's a Gulfstream mile. And I don't know. I think it's important for us right now that we keep IRAD on. I think we've got a good relationship. He has a good relationship with the horse and we do with him. And so if we can get him on, it would be a huge plus and that'll influence our decisions greatly. But otherwise, you know, he's just walked since his race and I'm real curious to get him back to the track and see how he looks and how he feels. And I don't know, like I said, he's my big horse, so I know him pretty well. I graze him in the afternoon, and he's my big horse. So I know him well, and we'll see how he comes out. If he needs an extra week, he'll get it. If he bounces back out of it, then we'll think about something shorter. But right now, I think I'm just happy we got this. And I can't tell you how many messages I got from people. It was amazing that to win a race like that on a big day was really cool. And obviously, to be the first graded stakes win, I didn't really even think about that. I was so nervous going into it that, you know, it is a big day. And those kind of things, they don't happen very often when you can say your horse is doing really good going into a race on a big day. So they did a good job on Pegasus and everybody had a good time. And my owners enjoyed it. And it's nice, nice having all the activities and festivities going on.
Well, off to a terrific start this year. You got a couple in tomorrow at Gulfstream. Any thoughts about Patty O'Dinney tomorrow?
Patty O'Dinney is not looking great. His coat changed on me real quick. It got cold down there. He had a little tiny bit of snot in his nose, so we pulled a blood on him. I'll probably end up taking him out. But
okay.
The other horse is a Verrazano horse that I liked all along. That he's trying first time on the grass, and we'll drop him in for 32. We got IRAD on him. That's a huge plus. Again, anytime you can get a leading rider, I don't care who you are or what track you're at, from a looking in standpoint, it sure makes sense on paper. So he's out of a lemon drop kid mare, and I think you should like the turf. And just see the guy that actually owns that horse is in on that Force 5 Racing, who owns a piece of Fat Man. So this is his own horse. Like I said before, all these people own their own horses, and we put them together in here, which is a unique, you know, scenario. So it's really cool to have all those guys, and it just you know, this guy's got a maiden 32, but then the other horse next to him is a graded stake winner. So that's got to be cool for an owner.
Well, the owner you're referring to is the top contest player, Farron McCubbins, who was Wayne Spalding's partner on Bullard's Alley, on the ill-fated
right.
Bullard's Alley. We know Farron well, and very nice. How'd you pick him up as a client?
I have no idea, actually. He called me out of the blue. I was driving my first year we're training at Trackside in Louisville. And the vans are packed up, and it's my first time shipping our horses south. You know, we're done it for Jimmy and Christoph and all them, and no problem. But when it's your own, and it's you're making the calls on who goes in what slots on the van and what time we're going to leave. And anyway, so I get a random call from somebody, and he says, "Hey, I want you to claim a horse out of the 8th race today at Churchill." And I mean, I think our vans were going to leave about the 6th race. So I said, "Man, I'm really sorry." I said, "But I just." I don't think I can do it. I can't leave these horses." And he said, he was kind of shocked and said, "Well, you know, it's a $40,000 horse. Are you sure you can't do it? I can find somebody else." I said, okay, I'll do it. So I dropped everything. We backed the vans up a couple hours and ended up claiming her. She just turned out. We won a couple races with her, but it was good to get in with him. And through him, I've met Wayne Spaulding and got a couple horses for him. And again, like, I trained for a lot of people that are just good guys. They're just really good people, and nobody really bothers me. Nobody drills me on questions. And I think somehow we formed good relationships with these people that we're all kind of on the same page. And like, I trained for some breeders. I trained for some guys that, like, 2-year-olds, claiming guys. So it's I got a really cool group of people.
When you get back to Kentucky, you'll be back at Spectrum. You'll be back over at the training center.
Yeah, I won't go to Kentucky. I'll go back to Monmouth.
Okay.
That was a one-off deal going to Trackside, because I'm from Kentucky, so I wanted to be there. And then I realized my horses. I talked to Ben Huffman one day, and I begged him for stalls, and he said, "All right, let me print out all your horses." We went through, and he said, "This horse won't fit here. This horse won't fit here. This horse won't fit here." I said, "Well, I guess you pretty much told me everything I need to know." So after I was pretty upset about it, because I was thinking I could stay there for a while, but Monmouth has kind of turned into a really good place to be, and we won some races in New York. We won a race in Saratoga this year, so lots of options. And like I said, we just want to win races. That's a really important part of what everybody does every day. And so the winning part is important too. So we can go up there and ship around, and it's busy. I got 6 condition books on my desk when we're up there, so it's a lot of running around. But I got some good people that work for me, and that helps. So I kind of can't wait to get back up there.
Well, and Trackside, there's no room anymore for anybody, because Cherie has taken over. It's now the Cherie DeVoe Training Center.
You got that right.
I love it. For those of you that aren't following Kent, you should be. It is Sweezy K on Twitter, Kent Sweezy, and you can visit his website too, Sweezy Racing, and you spell Sweezy with an E between the Z and the Y. Kent, delighted for you. Continued success this winter. Probably see you there or at Tampa at some point, and good luck at OBS the next couple of days, and we'll talk soon.
Great, Steve. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Not at all. Terrific visit. Kent Sweezy with a lot of insight on a variety of topics. We'll take the break here, and we'll spend the rest of the hour undoubtedly with Johnny D, back from the Pegasus weekend. He will regale us, literally, with regale. Gail, I can't wait to hear, because I doubt that Gail's feet are back on the ground after hanging with J-Lo at Pegasus. We'll talk about the Beat the Host results. I want to go over the Pick 6 return as well. Over 11,000. It was a 13% edge, thanks to Marshall Graham for the analysis. 13% player's edge. Positive expectation on Sunday on the force out on the Rainbow 6. So, paid, obviously, 11,000 is, and there were two and a half very tough horses, including one that I wanted to kill myself, frankly. I was so mad at myself for the big price horse in the sequence, who the Thoroughgraph users were given every opportunity, absolutely, to just jump on Baby Monster, the Joe Orsino. Jesus, the horse was absolutely live, if you're a Thoroughgraph user, both on the form ratings and just on the figures. On figures alone. And I absolutely whiffed. I'm so annoyed. Anyway, Johnny D joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home at the the tracker on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Yeah, we got free tickets to the Brand Band concert happening this Monday night at Pacific Palisades. You can all in if you want to answer.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm right.
I woke up again this morning with the sun in my eyes. When Mike came over with a script surprise. A mafioso story with a twist. A 2-1 food jewelry. Here to get your ass out of bed. He said, I'll explain it on the way.
We're back at the races. About 20 into hour two. Johnny D back from South Florida. And clearly he and Gail had a wonderful weekend.